just looking after yourself, to take pleasure, to improve on simple goals, it was something that was not very trendy. So we decided that through AI, we could do something better. So we don't pretend to have the more complicated interface. What we are looking at is sportive riders. Tomorrow we'll do running and swimming too. So and then help them to improve over a long period.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. Your host, Roan, as usual. For anybody new to our content, our focus is always on bringing the most interesting, innovative companies and applications from the world of sports and technology onto our show. We've been doing this with themes over this last year. So every month we run a different theme. Last month, for example, was sports tech for women's sports and how technology can help the growth of women's sports. You can check out that series. We've had previous series on AI in sports, on sports tech in the Middle East. All of these details are available on our website, or just scroll down to previous episodes to check them out. This month, for the month of August, our focus is inclusivity and access through technology, how sports tech can help the differently abled people access the sport of their choice, either to watch or to participate. They've had some great speakers or great guests I've been fortunate enough to interview. You can feel free to check out those episodes. Today, though, I'm speaking to a company called Sorius. They are an AI application for cycling. And they primarily help abled people, but they also have some interesting applications and how they work with differently abled people, which we will get into. I have on the show co-founder Alexander of Sorius. Welcome to the show, Alexander.
Hello. Thanks for the invitation and glad to be here.
Glad to have you. I should also say Sorius has been a partner of Sports Tech X, so you found them in our content recently if you follow it. If you don't, please do. We'd always appreciate another person coming into our ecosystem. I'll come to you, Alexander. I described Sorius a bit. I've introduced you as a co-founder. But before we get to the company, I always want to know more about the person that is behind the company, or the team, shall we say. So tell us a bit more about yourself, your background, and what brought you to the point of starting this company.
Thanks a lot. So on my side, I've had two lives. The first one was in the corporate life within banks and insurance, the head of innovation and marketing department. But outside that, I've always been a big fan of cycling. So there will be connections, of course, with Sorius. And since 2015, I have co-founded several startups. Some of them have been included in the top 100 in the world ranking in the insurance space, particularly InsurTech 100. And in 2019, I met Nils Woos, a former professional rider. And he was developing an application around wellness. And then there was what we call a fit between both of us. And we knew that one time or another, we will create a company. And 2 years ago, I met Florent Polizzi, which was the CTO of the company of Nils at that time. And we decided to join our forces to create a unique application based on AI for endurance sports. So that's how I ended up within Sorius.
And endurance sports is an area that's growing a lot, especially in a post-COVID world, in a post-pandemic world. I mean, it has been a while. It's been 3 years now already, almost 3 years. But a lot of sports, especially outdoor sports, we as Sports Tech X are watching the market closely, and we've seen a big growth in outdoor sports. Fitness was a category that exploded at the beginning, but outdoor sports continues that momentum. And also, so that's on one, let's say, trend that you're on. AI in sports is another big trend. It feels like the world woke up to AI just because of ChatGPT, but people such as you and others will have been working on this for a long time. So given that context, talk us about Sorius itself. What is the cool tech or the coolest part about the application? How does it really solve a problem? And how does it use AI to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. You're mentioning the boom of outdoor sports, and we can also quote the boom of indoor sports, particularly in endurance, when we have in mind, for instance, Swift or Bicool, just to be fair and do not drop just one name. Right. But definitely, you're right. Endurance sport as a part of daily routine and well-being had a boom after COVID. And what we have seen so far as a pain point is that lots of people wanted to do sports for wellness, but they were also pushed to go outside their comfort zone and limit zone without limitations and guidance to do it. Usually when you are looking at running, you look at Kipchoge, you look at Kilian Jornet, for instance, in trail. In cycling, you look at ultra endurance events, for instance, or cycling events such as the amateur stage of the Tour de France, 17,000 riders. And we saw that each time there were lots of dropouts, injuries, because people wanted to buy cool stuff, expensive stuff, but the coursing, which is their training, they were not looking at it very in-depth. And as I mentioned, Nils was a former professional rider. He saw also that with power sensors and lots of IoTs, people were not taking pleasure anymore at every level of the practice because they were focused on watts and performance and heart rates. And just looking after yourself to take pleasure, to improve on simple goals, it was something that was not very trendy. The trendy side was sensors, captors, data. But having a cool interface, having easy to understand advice, regularity in your training, achievable goals, it was not trendy. And so we decided that through AI, and I will come back to this notion of AI because it's a topic as itself, we could do something better. So we don't pretend to have the more complicated interface. What we are looking at is sportive riders. Tomorrow we'll do running and swimming too. So and then help them to improve over a long period. Either it's 3 months, 1 year, 2 years. It might be to lose weight, for instance. It might be to go back to sports after giving birth, for instance, for a woman, or after a surgery. And you can have the same training of a professional without technical terms, but having the feeling to improve yourself depending on reasonable goals. And that's what we wanted to do. And we wanted to do, you were talking about inclusivity, we wanted to do for the price of a Netflix subscription in order to be accessible. But just on AI, if I can focus maybe 1 minute on that point, we hear everything about AI and ChatGPT was cool on one side. And on the other side, everyone thinks that LLM models are very common, which is not the case. What we wanted to do was learning from our community at first. So in order to create this AI, we did two things. We are doing, after each training, a short assessment of the training. Was it hard? Was it too easy? And then we ask people to give their feedbacks on their daily lives, their agenda, their feeling. Do they sleep well? Do they eat well? And this data, they were in our model to improve based on the real life of people. And then we add external data. But it is really important to know that we have taken 2 years and millions of entry points to be able to customize in real time now a training for people. And when you're in our application, we can, if you say that you want to lose weight, we can really adapt it. And then it's your training, even if it's an AI behind. But it's a training that has been developed the last 10 years when Nils was the trainer of 100 athletes. athletes coming from the Tour de France, some jersey winners of the Tour de France were coached by Nils. And we learned a lot based on qualitative data, which is quite disruptive because usually you're really focused on rough data and power data. We're focused on psychological and qualitative data on our side to build our model.
With a data-driven model, so on one side, you're collecting data from whatever application, I guess, the rider or the endurance athlete is using, whether it's Strava or their Apple Watch or whatever device. So that is on the qualitative side, or quantitative side.
Yeah.
But as you said, you're also capturing qualitative data, which is personal feedback yeah. from that athlete, which is how it can get really personalized. And I think this is an important thing to highlight because, as we know, any level of athlete, even, I mean, I'm not a Sunday runner, I run multiple times a week, but sometimes it can just become about, okay, how quick I'm running, what is my pace per kilometer versus just how I'm feeling at the end of run. And funnily enough, it was actually the Nike running app. Once I got into their audio runs, I moved emphasis away from my watch and more to my mind. And I think that transition is an important thing that I think, as you said, Sorius helps build for the athlete. So let's talk about the model here. So there is, it's a pure play B2C subscription-based model. Yeah. So anybody for any endurance sport can pick up the app, or are there specific sports that you all are targeting?
We started by cycling because it was historically the DNA of several co-founders within the company, some of them better than others in terms of pure performance. But definitely, we started by cycling and all types of cycling, either road cycling, mountain bikes, or electric cycling just to commute and to go to work. We can train people for wellness targets. With that type of
bike. Just a daily commute.
Absolutely, yes. We have trained lots of people doing that. Today, we have 5,000 active users. And what is interesting is right now we are attracting lots of people coming from urban areas that are starting to taking training seriously for their well-being, not for sports targets. Mm-hmm. And they are doing it with electric bikes. And some of them now want to buy road bikes and or mountain bikes and to have a goal of in terms of kilometers or miles. But definitely that's very interesting. So usually when we look randomly at the training plans we are doing every day, we see that some of them are doing 5-10 kilometers, but in the morning and in the evening. And we can coach them with that. So as you were mentioning, we started by cycling, but the methodology to create this training right now is fully applicable for running. And we are right now running tests on that point. Mm-hmm. And the idea by the end of 2024 is to add swimming, which is more particular on that point, to be able to cover all endurance sports. Saying that, for the cycling training, we really take care of all types of sports. So we already take into account walking, running, for instance, skiing also. And it's complementary to what we are providing because, in finally, the goals are broader than just one sport. It's a goal of well-being.
Understood. And that's so basically I can train for an ultra marathon with Sorius application. With previous people on this podcast, with Fit Insider, for example, their term for this is the quantified athlete, not just pro athlete, but any individual who is interested in using data to improve in, as you said, whether it's health or actual performance. Elysian Park, who is an investor I've had on the podcast, they call it the pursuit of human awesomeness, which is, I think, a nicer, it's a more fun way of saying it than quantified athlete. But the idea is the same, that people using data as an input to improve whatever aspect of life that they want to improve, as you said, whether it's athletic performance or just general overall health. Okay, so it's a B2C model. You're started in cycling. You're covering a bunch of different sports using AI and building customized training plans. Is there any B2B angle? Because we have, for example, sports organizations or brands or companies that are listeners. Is there any partnership that or any way that you work with companies?
Yes, in fact, we have developed some areas for B2B. The first one is that lots of people, particularly in Europe, because I guess that 2024 should become the year of cycling, according to the European Commission. So there is an intense lobbying on that point. But we are providing employers the opportunity to help them to guide their employees to go back to cycling through our coaching plan. And we have created the equivalent of a driving license for cycling. It's not legally your driving license, but you have a code to assess your level. We can train you to be up to the equivalent in terms of theoretical foundation on that point with 40 questions and a bank of questions dedicated to cycling and situations of cycling. So that the type of B2B products we have created so far and deployed this year, particularly within insurance companies, because it's useful for them to help people to drive better and to use their bikes better. So that's the first point. The second point, I am mentioning it, and it's sort of breaking news, but it is on the insurance industry. We have created an insurance score that could be included within algorithm of car insurance, home insurance, or bike insurance to say if the bike is safe or not, depending on its age, the brand, the model, the date it was introduced into the market. And so we'll be the only player at this stage known in Europe that could provide a sort of black box that could be plugged into algorithm of insurers and reinsurers. So that's not the core of the company, but that was additional products we have identified value because of some requirements and questions we have had from partners. And so we have decided to invest in it. And we are right now into an R&D stage with a French laboratory, which is called the CNRS in the Eastern region, to create this unique scoring that we should launch in a Q1 or Q2 2024, just before the Olympics.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Interesting one. And the moment you started with the B2B angle, I was going to ask you a question on insurance. So I'm glad you landed us here. It's something that we have seen a trend of, how fitness tech can very closely align with insurance tech. And the connection is obvious. A fitter individual, like your typical health insurance provider, will say, hey, you go get your health checkup done. If your scores are very good, we'll knock off €20 from your premium or something like this. Imagine if you can quantify that ongoing through the year rather than just through the health checkup. If you can say, hey, I'm an active person versus a maybe not so active, not as healthy person, and how it can impact your insurance score. You're taking it to the bike itself. So I think there are a lot of synergies. So there is a B2B angle. Anybody interested can reach out. Alexander, okay. So we've set the context of the company really well. Maybe talk to us about something that some successes or something that you're proud to achieve in the recent past that you would like to share.
Thanks for this question. I think that the main success for us was having satisfying customers since day one and the launch of the company. And that's our proud. And right now, we are nearly 5,000 customers. We have a good rating on that point in terms of satisfaction, 5.6. But the main pleasure and satisfaction we have is that when there is a customer that is sending us a message on our chatbot saying, okay, I do sports again. I have my routine. Thanks a lot. I take pleasure. So you were quoting the pursuit of awesomeness. I think that if it is already coined, but we are in the pursuit of happiness through sports on our side. And that's the first achievement we wanted to have, is satisfying our customers. Seeing that...
I mean, there is... Sorry to interrupt, but there is a few things better than that. When you get that feedback straight away from your actual users that, hey, we like what you're doing, keep doing it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So after that, there are some vanity metrics, awards. We have been very proud to be integrated by IBM Village Capital into their accelerator in AI. I think we have been last year in the cohort, the smallest company and the only company in Sportech that has been included in their accelerator in AI. They are really focused on health tech, particularly in the US. And for us, it was a big achievement to be guided and receive the help from really, really, really top experts. And it helps us to demonstrate that even if in France people did not believe, to be totally blunt on that point, on our capacity to build an AI in sport, because for them, sport, and particularly sport tech, was a small sector, US has believed in us, and it has helped us. And the second achievement we have had is with the Eastern region in France that decided also to help us since the very beginning. And so they gave us an acceleration, access to resources. They gave us funds. And for us, it was critical to be accepted also like industrial counterparts, but with AI in this region. So we really wanted to thank them, both IBM and the Eastern region. And finally, it led us to be integrated in Dealroom, top 100 list in application in the world, in sport tech and wellness. So it was 3 months ago, and it was a huge achievement. So I would say that customers, growth first, and then external recognition, both from France and international accelerators and experts, was really important for us.
And it's, again, another indicator of doing well. I mean, obviously, the biggest indicator is when you get feedback from the market, which is your clients. But also when you get, as you said, external validation from big names in the industry or any sort of credible authority also helps in your journey. You spoke about sport tech being considered niche or small. I think that is one of the things that we want to do, is to break that perception and take it, because it is true, sports tech is becoming such an important topic in the wider industry. Let's talk about investment for a second. How has been that journey so far for Sorius? Are you self-funded? Have you raised any capital? Are you in the process of raising any capital?
Yes, for Sorius, since the beginning, we wanted to do things step by step. So what we did at the very beginning of the journey was to create a board, an advisory board, with early investors coming from different backgrounds. Some coming from the sports industries, other from the finance industries, and other coming from politics, in order to be able to grow and to have a good level in terms of possibility to scale. So we made a short pre-seed last year of 500K. We wanted to demonstrate that we could create the MVP, that we could attract to the first 1,000 users. And after reaching these milestones, we decided to finalize the seed stage. So we had an additional 700K investment. So we finalized the AI, our V2, that will be disclosed next week. And we will launch also applications through iOS and Android, because today we were mainly accessible through a web app. Mm-hmm. And we decided also right now to put pressure on media and advertising in order to grow rapidly. So we have just made our first TV campaign right now. And the next stage is to go to some countries, particularly Belgium, Germany, and UK, in order to attract international customers. So that's the next stage. In terms of fundraising, the idea is to be very fast on this market, because we believe that endurance sport as such has been a niche, very fragmented, but we want to become a dominant player. So we are right now raising 3 million euros for a Series A in order to open some offices outside France and particularly in the US.
That's a good call to action for any investors or anybody else who's interested in general in talking to Alexander. We'll give your contacts by email or by LinkedIn, I presume is okay. We'll put it in the show notes. But it's a pretty rapid growth as well. I mean, last year you were taking your pre-seed to build an MVP to now you have already 5,000 users and you're ramping up for a 3 million raise. I think the speed is important also, not just from a competitive standpoint, but as you said, to establish the market, to take the lead and grow in a few different directions, especially if the tech is in a good place, then that is a good direction for the company to go in. Yeah, then you feel that way.
Absolutely. We consider ourselves as a data and tech company. So that's why we know that speed is very important. And maybe just to give you an illustration, 1 year and a half ago, when I entered into the sportech industry, at least in France, it was not so well known. But now we see that there is a momentum because it is at the intersection, as you were saying, within various industries. Health, definitely, insurance on the other side, and sport at the center. Plus, sport has really something that is different because There are connections with people through sports. So it is very easy to talk about it, and it is very powerful when you're creating a brand around it.
Yeah, very easy. Easy industry to create community. All the communities are pre-built almost.
Absolutely.
It feels like the wider financial world or investment world is finally waking up to saying, hey, sport has been building communities better than anybody else over the last, I don't know how many decades. And when we talk about community for every application, and whether it's B2C, B2B, is always about community. And sports has done it, and there's lots to learn. Speaking of community and how you can give back, perhaps, we started talking about how our series is focused on differently abled and how tech can help the differently abled access their sports. I know you guys have got some interesting initiatives or are working in this way with some cool athletes. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, please?
Yes, absolutely. So maybe to give three illustrations of this importance of sport within community. The first one is that we have created a UCI development team in cycling for cycle, what we call cyclocross, which is bikes within a forest during the winter.
Just for context, for anybody who doesn't know, UCI is you'll say it better in French, is the basically the cycling governing body, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are world championships this weekend for amateurs under the umbrella of UCI. But yes, we created a development team to help people to have good material for talented young riders. So Nils and Lucy, two other co-founders within the company, spent the last 2 years during winter to help these young talents to have access to good bikes, because it makes a lot of differences when you're coming from a disadvantaged background and you do not have the right bike. So it's unfair if you can't have it. So we have them to develop, and we have had national championships in France, and we qualified as it at an international level. So that was the first example. The second example is that last year we sponsored an athlete to prepare for Dwarf Olympics. So that's a long, long road to go to the Dwarf Olympics, because it will be in 2025, but we wanted to make some give back from the money we were gathering. And finally, we are also helping a young Turkish athlete, a very talented road rider, which wants to qualify for track and field next year. And so the topic is that bike is not only for high net worth people, it's for everyone. And that's really the DNA of Sorius, to make bike inclusive and accessible to all.
And that's an important message. Actually, that was one of the first things when we started looking at the endurance sports markets that I was surprised by, is that for the most part, it is considered a sport for people in their, let's say, 40 and above, or in their middle-aged, people of means, who can afford to train and buy the right equipment and eat the right nutrition or take in the right nutrition. So it can be expensive already just to even start. You're But as you're saying, to make it more accessible and inclusive by supporting athletes and supporting the younger generation is great to hear. So it is taking on those steps. All right, Alexander, what's next? What does the next 12 or 18 months look like for Soarius? You already mentioned that you are raising around, you're looking to expand in new markets, the product is going into new sports. So seems like a lot is happening.
Yeah, lots is happening. So after the funding, which is absolutely essential for us, of course, but the internationalization will be key. Growth, I would say, three priorities. And of course, hiring people. So we'll hire people coming from tech backgrounds, sales, marketing. So the idea will be to do simultaneously the scaling of the company. But it's a very fascinating journey. And I think that we are definitely... within the SportTech area and with Soarius right now, at the right place, at the right moment, to develop this type of concepts and idea. The next step for the tech, maybe just to mention it, is that now we have a machine learning model. And the idea with the fundraising will be to the LLM side being able to talk directly with people like if they had their personal coach within their pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, within the AI world, that seems like the natural extension. Most applications which are built, whether it's on machine learning, computer vision, like whichever form, other format of AI, which is not LLM based, the LLM is the add-on. Like it seems like that's the interface almost that everybody's getting used to. And that's a makes like a sensible direction. Good. Alexander, great to hear that. And there seems to be some good momentum building around the team. And yeah, best of luck from our side, and long may that continue.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks so much for taking the time. Alexander, before you go, though, I have one last question. It's always my favorite question to ask. I like to believe that we're all sports fans first, people who like choose to work in this industry. So I'd like to know what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one that you participated in as an athlete or just as a fan.
For this year, I think it was the draft at the NBA with Wembanyama selected first and three other French guys that will be successful, I guess, next year. So definitely, I will renew my subscription to the NBA League Pass.
Good shot, yeah. High expectations, and he could not have arguably gone to a better place with Coach Popovich and the Spurs. So he will... I don't know. I think the question, maybe a question, follow-up question. Do you think he'll actually win Rookie of the Year this year?
What I think is that he will be developed during the next 2 to 3 years. He will be impressive in defense. So I think with Rudy Gobert and Wembanyama next year, the French team will, for the Olympics will be quite competitive. Will he be able to be a top scorer? Maybe not. So I would bet on 18, 20 points per game and 15 rebounds per game on the other side and 4 or 5 blocks. I think it'll be monstrous in that point.
18, 10, and 5 sounds like Rookie of the Year to me. The only reason I ask is obviously because of the coach. And Coach Pop, will how he fits into that system, how he becomes a Spurs player, I think that'll be interesting to watch. You know, exciting season. I also should point out that I think it was the two brothers, the first time in the NBA draft, that two players from the overtime elite, which is another feeder division. It's not actually not a feeder division. It's its own kind of competition. And there were two athletes from there who got drafted in the top 5. So very exciting NBA draft this year. Shout out to that. A side note, because I just recently watched it. Have you seen the Netflix series Unchained?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I watched it only like literally maybe a week ago. I think it's 1 year old. And usually I watch anything on sports on Netflix. And I watched it for the first time. I was hooked. It was incredible. Like, it was such a good series. Better than Drive to Survive, better than Full Swing, which is the golf one, Breakpoint, which is the tennis one. It was incredible. So I highly recommend that to anybody else. I guess you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah. And for professional athletes in this field of cycling, you discover, I think, that it's not really religious when you're starting this sport, because you need to put your life into these sports if you want to succeed in.
Yeah, and also some great stories from the French teams and the French athletes. Yeah, it was a really so much drama and tension. Anyway, great series. And great episode. Thank you, Alexander. Glad you could make the time to be here. And best of luck with your journey with Soarius. Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us once again. If you've enjoyed this episode or have taken the time to listen to any of our others, please do share it with anybody that you think might be interested. We'd be appreciative of that. Otherwise, stay tuned for the rest of the series and more content that we have published and more to come as well. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.